Teaching and learning should bring joy.
When they're really, really excited about something, you grab that and you go with it.
I was given the opportunity to teach a class of first graders, and from that day, I was hooked.
You could see the change that you can affect on kids.
I really was just passionate about making a difference through teaching.
I think you see kids and you form relationships in a way that probably nobody else ever does.
The students will enjoy what they're doing, and in the process, they learn.
You know, kids don't learn from people they don't like.
Yes, we're launching something new on Life Matters this morning. My favourite teacher is the name. Celebrating terrific teachers in our lives is the game, because great teachers, of course, can transform our lives. They're often the unsung heroes of our childhoods. We pass through their lives, they pass through ours. So we want to help you acknowledge and to celebrate a school teacher who has made a positive difference in your life. Tell us who your favourite school teacher was and why. We want to hear your nominations over the coming weeks. Tell us what made them so great. How did they influence you to nominate a school teacher? Go to the Life Matters homepage, click on My Favourite Teacher on the right-hand side. That takes you through to a special page where you can post your nominations. Be sure to include your email address in the form there, because we're going to track down a few of your favourite teachers and interview them for Life Matters, and you can help us spread the word so we can get as many nominations across the country as possible by using the hashtag MyFavouriteTeacher. Well, to inspire your own stories for My Favourite Teacher, this morning an opportunity to meet a young teacher who has become a big hit in his classroom. But here's the thing, his classroom has become vast, spilling well beyond the confines of his high school in Western Sydney to the big, wide world. It's Eddie Wu of WooTube fame and acclaim. He's head mathematics teacher at Cherrybrook Technology High School in Western Sydney. He's a father of three small children too. His passion for teaching and love of learning is infectious. And Eddie picked up the 2015 New South Wales Premier's Prize for Innovation in Science and Mathematics Education last month. And I wanted to invite him into the Life Matters studio to get a rare glimpse, really, into the daily life of a working teacher. Welcome, Eddie.
It's great to be here.
And congratulations on winning the New South Wales Premier's Prize for Innovation in Science and Maths Education.
Oh, it was an enormous privilege. Yeah, I almost didn't feel like I deserved to be among those, you know, incredible luminaries of the science and mathematics world, but it's an enormous honour.
Must have been very exciting. You always knew somehow that you wanted to be a teacher from way back when.
It was in the middle of high school when I started to get a sense of watching other people learn. When I was often not the smartest person, but people would say, "Hey, how does this work? Can you explain that?" And I just sort of naturally fit into that mold. But I think what really grabbed hold of me was when I first started to see an idea just click really clearly in someone's mind, and literally for the lights to come on for them. And I very quickly became addicted to that. I thought sort of everyone loved that kind of seeing that and being able to help someone else get that. Mm. But the more I talked to my friends, they said to me, no, it's just you, you know, we're really glad that you love it, but no one seems to love it quite like you do. So
a natural born teacher, it seems.
Like that.
It seems. Although you did go to one of the most elite selective high schools in New South Wales, one of the big performers, the high performers, very competitive, very ambitious school culture, I would imagine. What was the response around you to your desire to become a teacher and not a lawyer or a doctor or an engineer or a CEO? How do people respond to this desire in you?
I certainly raised some eyebrows. A lot of people, frankly, were just confused. They thought, why? And I suppose this just feeds into the broader attitude towards education. Even some of my own teachers, who I think eventually became really pleased with the fact that I did this, but they were just puzzled because it was just so apart from the normal stream and the normal direction that most people in a school like that are heading towards. A lot of people did say to me, do you know, the income is going to be like this and the lifestyle is going to be like this. And what it always came back to me for was, the next generation is just this enormous opportunity there to reach out to them, to strengthen them, to help them to grow. I just couldn't imagine a place where I would be more able to use my skills and more gratified by being able to help people. I absolutely fell in love with it.
I was really intrigued by that response around you, though, because it says something about our attitude in Australia towards the teaching profession, that you even got that message from your own teachers. Why would you become a teacher when you can become a mining magnate, for example?
People didn't need to tell me, we're surprised that this is something you want to go into, because I just needed to look around and no one, it wasn't even on the table. It wasn't one of the, all right, here's your quiz that you can go through and identify your strengths and this is the likely path you're going to go into. No one in the years above me, certainly no one in my year and no one after me for quite a substantial time even considered it. It was just not on the table. And I thought that was a shame. I think that's changing. I think there's lots of avenues to increase people's valuing of teachers, because it's just such a magnificent, noble profession. But yeah, those things come slowly.
What about your parents? Migrant parents, Chinese heritage.
My parents were surprised to begin with, because for them, education is so important. It's also a means towards, and not in a bad way, but it's a means towards securing your future. And they very much wanted, I mean, they left behind everything to come to this country and in order for their children to have every opportunity. And I think for me to have chosen a profession which maybe didn't quite have the status of all the other options that were open to me, that surprised them, certainly at first. I think eventually they came around. It took some time. My mother passed away in my first year of uni, so she never really got to see it all pan out. But my father, he's really delighted at how much success I've been able to have as a teacher, and he can clearly see how much I love what I'm doing and having a positive impact on the young people around me.
And you have become a star of the internet, which we will just hear shortly. But you were passionate about history and English at school, and here you are winning awards for being a maths teacher. What happened? Why maths?
Sure. I would like to say, even though it does seem a little bit like when it's couched in those terms, I've sort of been going in one direction and then taken a very sharp turn, I like to think about the continuity between all of these different fields. I don't see myself so much as a teacher of my subject as much as a teacher of students, and I want every sphere to be involved with that. Just this morning, I was studying the life of Alan Turing and the incredible story that he has as a mathematician, but also the enormous impact he's made on our society. And so for me, I really feel like everything I loved and learned in, I did the highest level of English I could and the highest level of history that I could. And I took those principles. I took my love for crafting a narrative. And I took my understanding of history and rivaling perspectives and how an incredible story is mapped out, but just by human beings interacting with each other. I take all of that and I bring it into my mathematics classroom. And I think that it's richer for the sake of it.
And also, you take it to the internet. And so Mr. WooTube was born.
I'm Mr. Woo, and my channel is all about learning. I love doing it, and I love helping others to do it too. I guess that's why I became a teacher. Every day, when I walk into my classroom, I set up my camera, I turn on my microphone, and I record my lessons. It's real teaching, real people, and my hope is that it's real learning for everyone who watches, whether you're in the room with me or halfway across the other side of the world. So if you want to learn about mathematics, or the way that technology works, or pick up a musical instrument, or if you just want to understand life in general, then I hope you'll join me and we can learn together.
More than a million views, more than 10,000 subscribers from around the world and growing, more than 1,000 videos. Your internet alter ego, Mr. Woo, has just gone off.
It's been as much a surprise to me as anyone else. I really was never intended for a wide audience. And so I've been really quite surprised by how many people, I mean, I've been doing this for 3 years now. And as you said, it's just sort of, it's just been doing its own thing, growing.
Tell me the story behind Mr. Woodtube and how that came about.
I had a single student who I was teaching in a year 10 class, and he was diagnosed with a very serious illness that required him to be out of school and in school for a few weeks at a time, but out of school for many consecutive weeks. And as I mentioned, mathematics is so coherent and so interconnected that every time he'd come back, he would work as hard as he could to understand what was going on. But he was really trying to put together a jigsaw puzzle without all of the pieces. And so I thought, come on, surely we can do something better than just sending home the exercises that he's supposed to do and saying, good luck, he's the textbook. And so I just took my phone out and I propped it up on top of the table. I worked out eventually that that was not very stable. So I went down to the woodwork room. I slapped together a few pieces of wood so it would stand still. And then I started putting those up on YouTube, honestly, because I was too lazy to package them up specifically and send them to him. I said, look, here's a link. You can go and use it. And then within my classroom, because it was fairly obvious, students who were not in that position, who were at school all the time, they'd say, oh, so I just missed a day because I was out at Knockout Touch. Can I look at the video for that lesson? And I'd say, if you want to spend your own time doing, you know, a bit more maths, I'm never going to stop that. And so they started to use it, even though they were there in the classroom. They started to use it for revision because how hard is it to remember something you learned? I can hardly remember the breakfast I had 2 weeks ago, let alone these complicated concepts we've learned months and months ago. And from there, it kind of just spread. It spread to all these students. In some ways, that wasn't as much of a surprise because students were my intended audience. Mm. But when I went back to my old university, the University of Sydney, and I was involved with some of the pre-service teacher training there and helping out a few university students who were not that far behind me. And they said, oh yeah, we watched your videos. They were really helpful for our assessment that we would do on this, that, the other. And I said, really? Why? And they said, well, you know, and this, now that I know it, it's so obvious. Number one, as a university student, it's pretty hard to get actually into a classroom. They have their student placements, but they're very, very limited. And once you become a teacher, as an early career teacher, early career teachers have, you know, no time. You know, people have 24 hours a day. No, early career teachers do not have 24 hours a day. They have very little opportunity to go and sit in on someone's classroom and just watch how someone else explains it.
So in a sense, it's become a virtual classroom for teachers, for students, and you now also have WooTube 2, which is specifically for resourcing teachers, helping teachers build their confidence in the maths classroom and beyond. What impact has it had in your classroom?
It's been surprising. I mean, I'm still teaching the same way. The camera is there. It's just an iPad sitting in the middle of the room attached to a microphone. And I work as hard as I can to make sure that the students in my room are not feeling like they're getting something secondhand, that I'm teaching to the internet and then they're there for the ride. They are my students. But I feel like what gets onto the camera is better as a result because I'm focused on them. I'm focused on human beings. And it's mathematics as a performance. It's full of mysteries and surprises, and for me to convey that to them is a whole body, whole mind, whole heart experience.
So you use words, expressions like practically powerful, dazzlingly beautiful, mysteriously logical, endlessly surprising. These are words that people would not necessarily have associated with their experience of maths in their own high school classrooms. Why are those words relevant to maths in your mind?
There are so many things that I could say here. I mean, just off the top of my head, the quickest examples I can think of are all things that we experience from day-to-day life but maybe don't realize are as mathematical as they are. Those words won't come to people's minds when they think of mathematics. I think that reflects that we don't actually understand what mathematics is. Mm. So when I'm looking at, this is one of my favorite examples, when I look at a flower, and I look at the petals and in the middle, there's all of those seeds there and they trace out a really interesting spiral pattern. Why do they do that? And the answer has to do with irrational numbers and a particular irrational number that mathematicians love called the golden ratio. And so the mathematics is there, hidden in plain sight. And, you know, I'm not a very musical person, but I love music. I love to listen to it. I do love to dabble with it. And
there's you giving guitar lessons as well, maths lessons, you know, on your YouTube channel.
It's funny how, I mean, every musical instrument is a mathematical piece of art. I mean, just to pick out a guitar, why is it? why is it that a note struck on a guitar string sounds so harmonious with a note struck on the same string when I divide it in half? And that's all mathematics. It has to do with the periodicity of trigonometric wave functions, but we don't realize that. Mm. If we are to convey to students, this is what mathematics is really about, and this is how wonderful an experience learning can be, it's a little bit as though, you know, students have to learn about music but never get to hear a symphony. I think that's tragic. And it's wonderful when anyone gets to experience that.
Eddie Wu is with us this morning. He's head mathematics teacher at a school in Western Sydney called Cherrybrook Technology High School. He's also the winner of the New South Wales Premier's Prize for Innovation in Science and Mathematics Education recently. And he is Mr. Wu of Mr. WooTube acclaim and fame. His YouTube channel, which has taken the world by storm and classrooms by storm, it would seem. You argue that maths at school is missing a crucial ingredient. What is that crucial ingredient?
Mathematics often is reduced down to, here are some problems that can be solved with a series of steps. And if you are really good at replicating those steps and become very efficient and quick at them, then we label that, you're good at mathematics. Well done, you get an A+. And I think that's really taking the heart and soul out of what mathematics is and presenting kind of a shell. I mean, it's not nothing. Those processes of developing fluency and understanding are important. But really what's at the heart of mathematics, which I think often is missed in classrooms, is that mathematics is just about something very simple. It's the human drive to understand what are the principles and logic that animate this world around us. You know, simple things like, okay, why is it that our planet is round? I watch TV with my children and they're 2, 4, and 7, and we watch this show which has the characters racing around on rockets to planets which are cubes and pyramids. And why don't we, there's actually a really good reason why every planet and every star and every other big celestial object is basically a sphere, a circle, because of the rules of physical laws and how they have to do with distances and radii and so on. And so that drive
maths
to understand
is there in the world in us.
Yeah.
But do you think it's also intensely personal?
Mm.
And that message, that possibility is lost on a lot of people who attribute maths to a great source of anxiety in their lives.
Absolutely. I think it's and I understand. I do see when things do get reduced down to, all right, here's a bunch of processes you need to do. I mean, I can just imagine what it would be like if as a someone playing a sport, if what that sport meant to me was, okay, how many times can I dribble this soccer ball in between these cones and how quickly can I do it? And when they give me half an hour, how many will I miss and what kind of grade will I get at the end? Well, no wonder people would be anxious if that's their experience of sport. But if they get to say, okay, I want to push my body and my mind to its limits. I want to collaborate together with other people and see how my skills and their skills can fit together in a complementary way. That's fun. That's why we play team sports. And real life mathematics is very much like that. It's a collaborative effort to try and take what we understand and put it together with others to yield insight.
Mm, mm. Children are born scientists, you argue. Are they born mathematicians too, do you think?
If mathematics is all about, I think that if I can understand the patterns underneath what's going on, then I can have more fun with something and I can really understand how it works and push it to its limits, then I think we absolutely are all born as mathematicians. I mean, the idea of thinking about, okay, well, you know, I want to play with my toys. I want to maximize the amount of time that I can have with them and I want to play with this one and that one and how many different combinations. I mean, my 4-year-old son, he's really into Lego at the moment, as many children that age are, and to the consternation of my feet when I step on his Legos, which I did to my parents, so I have no surprises there. For him to just play and for me to watch the concentration on his face as he thinks about the geometry of how he's putting together what he wants and how to match the colors in exactly the right configuration, all of that is deep mathematical understanding. And he would never express it that way, but that doesn't mean it's not there.
So at what point do you think we lose confidence?
Mathematics is tricky in that more than any other field, because there's such continuity and interconnectedness between all of the skills and concepts in mathematics.
And it's abstract.
Absolutely. In fact, the power of mathematics is that it can be abstracted and that we talk about simple things like, say, like circles, there isn't a circle the way that we would think about it mathematically. There isn't a single circle in the universe. I mean, I'm staring at my watch right now and it looks like a circle. But if we took a microscope to it and had a look at all the lumps and bumps around the edges, it's nothing at all like a circle. Mm. But the fact that we can understand circles in this mathematical abstract way still gives us this tremendous power. But coming back to why students often disengage and have trouble and their attitude towards it will radically shift. I think because of that massive interconnectedness between the ideas, it can honestly be at any single point in the chain. I mean, the colloquial way we'd say it is, you know, you might have one bad year for whatever reasons it is. Maybe your life took a bit of a personal turn and so you couldn't focus on your studies, or perhaps you moved and changed systems and so there was a bit of a disconnect, or maybe the teacher who you had just didn't quite have the confidence or the passion to explain what they were talking about. Just one year can really sever the connection between all of the concepts that are to come. That's a wonderful thing about mathematics, that it builds on itself, and that's how it reaches these amazing heights of abstraction and insight. But therefore, those foundations need to be so strong and so powerful. It's never too late, but our education system does move forward at a particular pace. Mm. And whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's a reality. And so mathematics education often struggles as a result of that.
You know, I've tried to convince 16-year-old girls to stay on in maths, for example, and I can't convince them. Their parents have lost the fight because they too have lost confidence in their maths as well when they were young. And I won't need it. Why will I need CERDs? Mm. I want to go and work in this field. Why would I need maths for that? Mm. How do you convey that message to parents and your kids in the classroom?
Yeah, look, it's interesting. Just to take the classic question, when am I ever going to need this? I think there's been a lot of attempts, very well-intentioned as well, which I appreciate, attempts to try and take mathematics learning and say, let's really make it practical. Let's make the context really clear and make the application to a student's real life also really clear. Mm. And that can work really marvelously well. I've been involved in many projects that have tried to do that effectively and have seen the fruits of it. But at the same time, I think there's something a little bit mistaken about that approach. We can see how it's flawed if we try to take that principle and apply it to something else, like say English. So I love English, and I particularly love creative writing and fiction. And can we imagine a scene where a teacher walks into the classroom and says, "All right, everyone, you know, 9C, I've worked out why you didn't like that last novel I gave you. It wasn't practical enough for you, and that's why the next text we're going to be studying is 800 pages of, you know, supply chain economics in the automotive industry." You know, but sir, can't we just read, you know, Lord of the Rings? "Oh, no, that's not practical enough for you." I mean, the ludicrousness of it is so obvious in an area like that. And yet we're trying to do the same thing in mathematics, which I think is a mistake. I mean, mathematics is beautiful and fun in its own right. Any student can take a little puzzle and manipulate the shapes. In fact, puzzles are a perfect example. You know, when you take a jigsaw and you're thinking about it geometrically, the mathematics that's involved there is really actually quite profound. And no one's going to say, "Oh, but sir, when am I ever going to have to put a jigsaw puzzle together in real life?" It's like, well, no, that's not the point. You're developing skills of, you know, how do you approach a problem? How do you tackle a situation where you've got all these unknowns and you have pieces that you know can fit together, but you don't know how? Those are all broad principles, which they're going to be useful even if it's not, "Oh, yes, this is my job."
I'm hearing your interactions with your students right now. What do you love about being in that classroom? What do you love about your students?
There's so many things to love. Just interacting with these human beings who are really, at their best moments, struggling very hard to wrap their heads around incredibly difficult concepts and trying to master incredibly difficult skills. And one of the things which I get to see every day is for them to struggle and persevere, and for it finally to pay off for them, to realize, to get to that moment where, wow, I did that. It's the kind of sense of achievement you get when you've scaled, you know, a rock climbing wall or something like that, and you look back down and you think, "I was down there. How did I get up here? I didn't know my arms and legs could do that." And in the mathematics classroom, I didn't know that just my mind and a pen and paper, and I could go from here to here, and that's just amazing.
Or it's a joy for you to watch that process.
Exactly, that's right. And I love to see the creativity and imagination that students apply toward. I mean, most people don't think of maths as a very creative or imaginative pursuit, but it absolutely is. I mean, as much as I love history and say science, they're by their nature limited by what we can observe, what we can experiment on, what we can repeat. But mathematics alone is only limited by what you can dream up in your mind.
What do you think makes a good teacher?
It's kind of funny because particularly as an early career teacher, I made it a big habit for myself to say, look, students are really expert at working out who's a good teacher, who's an ineffective teacher. They know very quickly, within seconds of you walking into the room, actually. Not to say that they're necessarily experts at what a teacher should be. You know, they know what they want, not necessarily what they need.
They want the funky teacher.
Exactly, you know. But at the same time, I thought it's really important to recognize student voice and that they see teachers come and go and they see things very quickly. So I made it a point to always ask my students, look, can you rate me on here are some qualities, you know, well-organized, knows my stuff, disciplines the classroom, all those kinds of things. Can you rate me on those? Tell me what I need to work on, what kinds of things that I'm doing poorly at and can improve. And what I put at the bottom of the form was, here are the qualities I've identified. Can you pick out some qualities that I haven't mentioned that you think are important? And can you give me a rating on them then? And I was so fascinated by the number one, the range of responses, but number two, so frequently, the things that came up were actually, honestly, from what I had expected, they were nothing to do with being a teacher. Wow. They were nothing about subject knowledge. They were nothing about understanding of curriculum and that kind of thing. They were things like, has a sense of humor, is willing to give me a hand when I'm struggling, you know, listens to me, doesn't necessarily just do what I want, but is going to take the desires that I have, which every student has their own different strengths and wishes, and take it into account. Those aren't necessarily teacher qualities. They're just human qualities.
Eddie, we're about to launch this new project today, in fact, with this interview. We're asking Life Matters listeners to nominate their favourite teacher, a teacher who made a difference in their lives. Are you happy to nominate a favourite teacher from your own life, a teacher that really made a difference for you in this career choice or in your life?
This is so hard for me because I was blessed to have so many fantastic teachers. And so when I was trying to rack my brains thinking, which one do I pick out? There is one who I can pick out, and honestly, he's probably the primary reason that I myself became a teacher. His name was Mr. Brown. He was my agriculture teacher in year 7. He was also the head of agriculture at my school. And what struck me most about him, and which I've never forgotten, is that one day we were walking down from our classroom down to the agriculture plots where we were supposed to be, you know, harvesting our plants or whatever it was. And we were walking across the oval and it's a fair walk. And so we're all talking amongst ourselves and he turned to me and he said, so how are you today, Eddie? And I kind of looked at him because I was, here I am, this very small, rather easily intimidated year 7 student. And I'm not really used to having a conversation with a teacher. I mean, is he asking me a question? Is this a test? Am I going to pass? You know? And he sensed that I hesitated and he said, I'm just interested in how your day's been and how you're traveling. And I thought this, I wasn't articulate enough to say it at the time, but I thought he cares about us as human beings. I mean, I knew I was no star student in his agriculture class. So it was not as though I was, oh yes, he's gonna take me as that wonderful star pupil. He really just treated me as a fellow human being and was interested in who I was and what drove me and what I liked and what I was good at. That one conversation I've replayed in my head thousands of times. Every time I interact with a student, I think to myself, he had no reason on that day to single me out. There was nothing special about me. And so when I look at my students, there's so many of them. It can be overwhelming. A normal teacher has in a high school 150 students that they have to know and work with every year. And it's really easy to let them get lost in a sort of sea of faces. But every one of them's an individual. Every one of them has a personal story. And that made a deep impact on me that he cared about that.
Eddie Wu, thank you so much, so much for joining us on Life Matters today.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Eddie Wu, he is head mathematics teacher at Cherrybrook Technology High School in Western Sydney. And last month, he picked up the 2015 New South Wales Premier's Prize for Innovation in Science and Mathematics Education. He is certainly a favourite teacher for many. And you can check out his WooTube channel by going to the Life Matters website. Look for the story there and you'll find it. Mr. WooTube on Twitter to you.